The following is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 3, Text 23, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded in Vrindavan.
Gopi jana bala bhavala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Dai valineshu kameshu. Dai valina swayam puman. Go vishambheta yogena. Yogeshwara manuvrataha. Translation. Every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force, and thus the sense enjoyment is also under the control of that supernatural force. No one, therefore, can put his faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental sense activities but one who has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service. Purport by divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, no one can understand the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord. The same fact is here incorporated. No one but one who is enlightened by the devotional service of the Lord can understand the difference between the Lord's activities and those of others who are controlled by the supernatural force. The sense enjoyment of all animals, men and demigods within the purview of the material universe is controlled by the supernatural force called the Prakriti or Devi Maya. No one is independent in obtaining sense enjoyment, and everyone in this material world is after sense enjoyment. Persons who are themselves under the control of supernatural power cannot believe that Lord Krishna is not under any control beyond himself as a matter of sense enjoyment. They cannot understand that his senses are transcendental. In the Brahma Samhita, the Lord's senses are described as omnipotent, example, without any sense. He can perform the activities of the other senses. One who has limited senses cannot believe the Lord can eat by his transcendental power of hearing and can perform the act of sex life simply by seeing. The controlled living entity cannot even dream of such sense activities in his conditional life. But simply by the activities of bhakti yoga, he can understand that the Lord and his activities are always transcendental. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati, one cannot know even a fraction of the activities of the Lord if he is not a pure devotee of the Lord. Om agyante manandasya jnananjana shalakya chakshuran militanena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Subadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Mitam Shtab He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Chari Gaur Bhaktarvinda Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Daivadineshu kameshu daivadina swayam puman ko vishrabeta yogena yogeshram anubrataha. You devotees will have the privilege of seeing those devotees who worked hard on behalf of Krishna Balaram Temple to distribute Prabhupada's books. So over here, this chapter is called The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan. And this is the 23rd verse of the chapter. In the previous verses, Uddhava has described the various inconceivable pastimes that were performed by the Lord when he was on the planet. Specifically, this chapter describes the Lord's pastimes that were performed outside Vrindavan. And when you read these pastimes, Krishna comes on as someone superhuman. Just like in movies, they used to have this Superman. You know, he would always do something extraordinary. I believe the concept of Superman came from Krishna. Because Krishna was superhuman. Krishna always performed activities that from a material angle would appear to be inconceivable. The various pastimes described in this chapter are all inconceivable, right from his killing of Kamsa to Krishna's associating with the devotees, with his intimate devotees for the rasa dance. These devotees that he associated with in the rasa dance were not ordinary women, but they were very, very exalted devotees of the Lord who had performed intense tapasya just to have the opportunity to associate with the Lord. So the point is that Krishna, when he appears, he performs superhuman activities. And you can read them in detail in the 10th canto. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you see a certain pattern. You see a summary description of various topics in the earlier cantos, and then a more elaborate explanation in the further chapters. Just like in the first canto, there's a summary description of the incarnations of the Lord. Here we see there's a summary explanation of the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. And then when you get to the 10th canto, you'll find each of these pastimes that are described in this chapter in great detail. While a pastime that is described in one verse in this chapter may take on 2-3 chapters in the 10th canto in great detail. So what Vyasadeva is presenting to us is actually a summary presentation in the earlier cantos. So as we said, in the earlier verses of this chapter, Uddhava has described various transcendental activities of the Lord, which could be classified to be superhuman. And sometimes less intelligent conclude, this is all mythology, this is all imagination. They say the Vedic scriptures is all somebody's imagination. No. You need a certain qualification to understand these transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And that is what is being explained in this verse and purport today. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Deva Evamavati Tatvata Takta Deham Pana Janma Naitya Meti Sar Rajana. Krishna says clearly, my appearance and disappearance are both completely transcendental. Anyone who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance, he becomes free from the cycle of what? Cycle of birth and death. So easy. Just understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and disappearance. And Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita how people do not understand him. Avajananti Mamura. He explains how there are different four categories of people who don't surrender to him. And they conclude, when he appears, he becomes like one of them, etc. So to understand the supreme position of the Lord, you need certain qualifications. Now in this verse, Uddhava is explaining that every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force. Am I right? Do we have any controllers? We have so many. We like to pride ourselves in thinking, oh, I'm independent, my country is independent. Well, we are not independent at all. Every act of ours is controlled by so many supernatural forces. And even the sense enjoyment you want to have is controlled. One may aspire to have a sense gratification of a high level, but if his karma and various other factors don't allow him certain facilities, doesn't matter how hard he endeavors, he's not going to realize it. Isn't that a fact? So it is being stated in this verse on the Bhagavatam that we're all controlled by a supernatural force, and even the sense enjoyment that one wishes to realize is controlled by a supernatural force. Now, further it says, to understand Lord Krishna's transcendental activities, one has to become a devotee. Uddhava is saying that to understand Lord Krishna's transcendental activities, what's the qualification you need? You need to become a devotee. Now, what does it mean to become a devotee? Like one pattern you see in India, everyone says, I'm a devotee of Krishna. You talk to any Hindu in India, he'll say, oh, I'm Krishna Bhakta, I'm a devotee of Krishna, isn't it? So everyone prides himself, I'm a devotee of Krishna. But what does it mean to be a devotee of Krishna? That is also being explained in this verse. It is being explained by Uddhava that being a devotee of the Lord means rendering devotional service to the Lord. Therefore it is said that one can put his faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental activities only if one has become a devotee by rendering devotional service. So to become a devotee, you need certain qualifications. Just like if you want to brand yourself as a doctor, it means you must have some qualification. You must have gone to medical school, done your internship, then you're a doctor. You're a lawyer, you must have gone to legal school, got your degrees and so on. So a devotee is one who is rendering devotional service. And when we talk about rendering devotional service, it means rendering devotional service based on the teachings of the Lord. Shruti Smriti Prana Adi Prana Panchatka Bidimvina Ekanti Ki Hari Bhakti Utpata Eva Kalpate. Rupa Goswami says that process of devotional service that is not based upon Shruti and Smriti, it will simply create a disturbance in society. That is why we see so many people claiming to be devotees, but because they're not following Shruti and Smriti, their so-called religion is not actual religion, and they confuse people. People get confused. Oh, who is genuine? ISKCON devotee says this path is genuine, he says this path is genuine, that Mahatma is saying this path is genuine. Who is genuine? So the tragedy is that people are not following the scriptures. Now in the purport, Prabhupada states several important points. First point he's emphasizing is how that we are all controlled by supernatural forces and we are all ultimately controlled, and how the Lord can be understood through the process of devotional service. Why? Because devotional service is the medium through which we purify our impure mind and senses. A mind, senses, intelligence are all contaminated, full of dust, more black than coal. Can you imagine that? Prabhupada said that. It's not. He said our heart is actually more black than coal. The material mind is something more black than coal is inconceivable, isn't it? So that our heart, mind, intelligence, It's actually more black than coal. It's full of dirt. So how to be purified? How does a diseased person recover from his disease? He recovers from his disease by taking the remedy, the medicine. So similarly, devotional service is medicine through which we can destroy, take away a disease of sense enjoyment. Just like Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, I have brought the special medicine to cure you. And what is this medicine? Chant the holy name. This will cure you from your disease of sense enjoyment. So the process of devotional service, I explained in numerous places, is the process through which we can purify our impure mind, intelligence, and senses. And if we execute this process regularly, based on the direction of the scriptures, spiritual masters, etc., then the desired result will be there. So we have seen ourselves all over the world that those who follow this process sincerely are able to overcome temptations and past bad habits. And those who do not follow the process, or those who do not follow the process generally, sincerely, are not able to overcome. We can see that even within our ISKCON society. You have devotees who are making rapid advancement, and if you analyze what are the causes of the rapid advancement, you see that they're following the process of devotional service very strictly. And on the other hand, you see devotees who have been around for a long time but are not making that rapid advancement. And if you analyze, you'll find them lacking in executing the process of devotional service rigidly. It's just like Bhakti Siddhantaji was once asked by his disciples, how is it that some devotees make rapid advancement and some make slow advancement? And Bhakti Siddhantaji responded to this by revealing this famous story of the marriage party, how the marriage party sat in a boat, told the boatmen to take them across, and in the morning when they got up, the boat was still there. They say, hey, what the hell did they do? We paid you the money in advance. The marriage is fixed, and what? How come the boat is still there? And the boatman said, I really worked hard all night while you all were asleep, snoring. But I don't know why the boat didn't move. And then they researched and they found that the anchor was stuck to the harbor. So that's the cause. So when we talk about executing devotional service, we must understand that we follow the process rigidly, sincerely, then the process is going to definitely yield results. There's no question of any doubt or if or but or probably. So Prabhupada's making this point in the purport that devotional service is the medium through which we can understand the Lord. And he goes on to explain, quoting from the Brahma Samhita, that describe various transcendental qualities of the Lord. In the Brahma Samhita, there are very beautiful verses that describe Krishna's transcendental qualities. For example, it is said, Angani yasya sakalanda vritimanti. One of the various qualities of the Lord is that in any one part of his body, he can perform the function of any other part of his body. And that's mentioned in the purport. For example, you and I can perform a particular function with one part of the body, am I right? If you want to eat, what's our medium? Mouth, isn't it? But Krishna's medium for eating are the eyes and the ears. Strange, isn't it? When the Vaishnavas offer prasad at the feet of the Lord, the impersonalists say, look at these foolish people. They offer a plate of prasad at the feet of the Lord, lift it and say the Lord has eaten, but the whole plate is still intact. So how is he eaten? They fail to understand that the Lord can, through any part of his body, perform the function of any other part. So when the Lord has to eat, he can eat through his eyes and ears. Through the ears, the Lord hears the prayers offered by his devotee. And through his eyes, he eats. So one of the various characteristics of the Lord is the Lord is inconceivable. And hence, he can easily perform any function with any one part of his body. We cannot try and limit God to our material senses or to our abilities. So Brahma Samhita says, Angani yasa sakalanda vritimanti. Then Lord Brahma also says, Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Ananta Rupam. He is Advaita, Achyuta, infallible, no difference between body and self. He appears in a variety of forms, just like Jayadev Goswami describes in Gita Govinda also the various incarnations of the Lord. So if you read that, read these different incarnations, how the Lord can appear as a tortoise, as a fish, as a half-man, half-lion. These are inconceivable to the mature mind, isn't it? Half-man, half-lion? But for God, nothing is inconceivable. So, we need eyes anointed with love of God. We need eyes to be purified through the process of devotional service to understand the greatness of God. Adhyam Purana Purusham Navyonam Cha. He is the oldest Purana Purusham, but he appears ever youthful. You now see a picture of Krishna in which he appears to be beyond 20-25. Prabhupada explained that when the battle of Kurukshetra took place, Krishna was by material standards over 125 years of age. But if you look at the painting of Krishna and look at a picture of Krishna on the battlefield, he looks ever youthful, isn't it? Young, 25 years old the most. So, Adhyam Venesa Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakta. Lord Brahma further says that you understand the inconceivable nature of the Lord just through the medium of academic study is impossible. You may become a Sanskrit scholar, you may memorize all the slokas, Venesa Durlabham, but just by studying academically the Vedas, you can't understand God. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. But one who becomes my devotee, Atma Bhakto, to him, what is difficult becomes easy. We can see this practically in India. There's so many Sanskrit schools where devotees, where people go and become Sanskrit scholars, they memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita, etc. But because they're not practicing the teachings of the Gita, their understanding is just academic. Whereas on the other hand, a devotee comes into ISKCON, follows the process of sadhana bhakti, he may not be able to even pronounce a shloka properly, doesn't matter. But because he's applying the teachings into practice, he is able to control his mind and senses. And on the other hand, someone may have memorized all the shlokas, but he's not practicing devotional service, hence he can't control his mind and senses. So, Krishna's inconceivable nature, Krishna's superhuman activities, Krishna's appearance and disappearance, Krishna's performing the rasa dance, all the significance of all these activities can only be understood if we take to the process of devotional service, as explained by the great sages and the spiritual master and the scriptures. And therefore, in the concluding lines of the purport, Prabhupada quotes the famous 55th verse from the 18th chapter. What is that famous verse? Bhaktyamam Abhinante. In the 18th chapter, Krishna summarizes the entire Bhagavad Gita. And again, he emphasizes the importance of devotional service as a medium to understand me. So Krishna, after discussing different types of yogas in the 18th chapter, in this famous verse, again says, only through the medium of devotional service can you understand me. Only. There's no other way. So there's no other if or but or experimental path that we need to take. The path is clearly concluded by Vyasadeva. We should just take to it with faith. And as we practice the process of devotional service, our faith in the process will get stronger and stronger. So to summarize, Uddhava is describing the Lord's transcendental activities outside Vrindavan in this chapter. In the last three verses, he's been talking about the rasa dance. In this verse, he's pointing out how the superhuman activities of the Lord can only be understood by who? By one who takes to the process of devotional service. And what's the nature of this devotional service? Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. The more you engage in this process, the greater pleasure you feel. The more we surrender, the greater satisfaction we feel. And the, what's the, with the nature of the water of this ocean, it is sweet. Prabhupada used to say, the water in the material ocean is salty, but the water in the devotional ocean is sweet. So devotional service is recommended in the verse and purport. And that's what ISKCON is presenting all over the world. And that's what we come to Krishna Balaram Temple here for, is to learn the science of devotional service. In ISKCON, the moment you enter the Bhakta program, you begin to hear about the glories of preaching, Sankirtan, and book distribution. Generally, the word Sankirtan is associated with book distribution and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Huh? So we all know the importance of book distribution. The great acharyas encourage us to have the mood of preaching. Why? There's a reason. Krishna himself declares the value of preaching. In the Bhagavad Gita, doesn't Krishna say that? Yaida paramam guyam. Who is my dearest devotee? One who always preaches my glories. There's never been one, and there'll never be one more dear than one who preaches my glories. So, there are numerous verses in the Bhagavatam also in support of preaching. For example, Lord Rishabhdev, in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, tells, a gentleman, if he sees a blind man walking on the wrong path, what does he do? All of you are gentlemen, I imagine, and gentlewomen. When you see a blind man walking on the wrong path, what are you going to do? Hold his hand and put him on the right path, isn't it? Similarly, Lord Rishabhdev said, a devotee, when he sees misguided population walking on the wrong path, they endeavor to put them on the right path. So that is what preaching means. To take the misguided civilization and put them on the right path. And that is what this Krishna conscious movement is meant for. Saving humanity. Just see Prabhupada. He went to America all alone at the age of with the 40 rupees in 1965, established the first temple. Now this ISKCON movement has literally saved unlimited millions of people all over the world through the introduction of the Hare Krishna mantra, etc. So preaching is a life and soul. Prabhupada said, what's this body without the preaching spirit? And Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute my books. He said this quotation many times. And here in Vrindavan, in his last days, a few months before, in June, July 77, we were sitting in his garden. He said, as long as book distribution goes on, I will never die. Why? When we distribute these books, we're giving Prabhupada and the great acharyas an opportunity to preach and enlighten the conditioned souls. So, Lord Chaitanya also emphasized preaching and Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Bhakti. Thakur Bhakti Vinod was the first great preacher, first great book distributor. You should know that. Because he sent his book on the life of Lord Chaitanya to universities around the world in 1896. You know, before there was no printing industry. So Bhakti Siddhanta ji encouraged this, and Prabhupada also encouraged book distribution. We all know how in Vrindavan, Prabhupada used to recite at Radha Damodar temple. Then he would go to Vrindavan, Mathura by Tanga. Then take a third class compartment to Delhi. Third class. There's no third class these days. Those days, Prabhupada used to take. And then he would take a Tanga again and go to Chiviwara to get his books printed. And then he would go and distribute them in Connaught Place and other places. So we are so fortunate. We don't have to translate. We don't have to worry about the printing, binding, etc. You get a ready-made package. All we have to do is go and distribute books. So Prabhupada said, book distribution depends upon the enthusiasm of my devotees. We had once arranged a very big display for Prabhupada's books in a downtown store in Bombay, and not many books moved after 1 month. So I went to Prabhupada and said, even though we had such a big display, we didn't sell that many books. Prabhupada said, yes, in a store, salesmen are not enthusiastic. My books are sold because of the enthusiasm of my devotees.
Hare Krishna.